You fucker.
Jesus Christ, is everything fucking sex with you?
With me? I fuck one person. I ain't out there serial fornicating, trying to float my liver, drinking myself silly, because I can't stand what a piece of shit I am.
What are you, Sigmund Sawed-Off fucking Freud?
Yeah, that's right, shit for brains. Go ahead, talk about my hype. Make it about something safe, because you're an emotional fucking cripple. Your soul is dog shit. Every single fucking thing about you is ugly. Come on, Lewis, let's get out of here.
Look who's
here, Jimmy. It's Santa. Oh, fucking right.
Let's tell him what you want for Christmas.
Fuck. I'm on my fucking lunch break, okay?
Are you insane? The management's gonna hear about this.
Think that's a threat?
If you think you make my fucking life any worse, you go right ahead. Be my fucking guest. Take a shot.
Hey, hey, hey!
Yeah!
Well, how are things?
Things are awesome.
Did you learn anything?
Never.
Never?
I've never learned anything in my entire life.
Sometimes you learn something, though, right?
Not very well.
Well, I guess this would be our Christmas episode. It would also be right around our year anniversary. I think the first show we did was January 7th, so we're really close to having done this for a year, so that's exciting, right?
Yeah, that's kind of exciting.
I don't think we've ever done anything for a year.
We did hockey.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't really count. So, Christmas, you got this story up here. I'll just go ahead and read it, and then I guess we'll comment on it.
No, do the other one first. This is the second part to that story.
Oh, there's been a development. Okay.
Yes.
A small Pennsylvania town has removed a nativity scene from its Burroughs building after a resident complained that the...
Creche.
What's a creche?
The nativity scene, you know, the whole thing.
Oh, that's what they call it? I thought it was just the nativity scene. Oh, okay. Is offensive to non-Christians. And while town leaders say they don't like having to remove it, they say they're legally obligated. Okay, well, I'll just stop right there. What is the legal obligation to remove it? What could they sue? What would the grounds for suing someone for that be?
Government sponsorship of a religion.
Government sponsorship of a religion.
Government endorsement.
I mean, so people can sue the government for that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Just for having a nativity scene out front?
Well, no and yes at the same time. They can only sue if there's discrimination involved. Like, let's say this town puts out the nativity scene like they've done for 57 years.
Yeah.
And let's say...
And so this is the first year that somebody made a gripe about it?
Yeah.
Do you think that, like... Because this has kind of been around for a couple of years now where they talk about it on the news where people get offended by this, that... Do you think that because people have seen that other people are offended by it, like they then think... Oh, well, what's wrong with me? Maybe I should be offended by this, too.
No, it's not necessarily...
Like a copycat offense?
No, it's not being offended.
It's not a matter of being offended?
No, it's not a matter of being offended.
Then what is it?
Being offended, like, let's say you're walking down the street...
Well, that's what it says right there.
Yeah.
Disrespectful and offensive.
Yeah. It's not really... I don't know anybody who's ever said that they were offended... by Christianity or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, it's not offensive. The point is that they're doing something that the government should not do. It's not that these are individual people working in an individual manner, working in, you know, doing shit on their private
property. So you're for this?
Removal of the nativity scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't think...
Who cares?
Because there should be no religion within government. Government should be secular. It should have nothing to do with any religion.
Is Christmas and the nativity scene and all that really religious? I mean, like, it's...
Yes.
It's not really,
the Christmas tree is not religious. The nativity scenes showing, you know, the Virgin Mary giving...
But, I mean, that's the point of the whole goddamn thing.
No, it isn't.
I mean, you know, as far as the reason that there's a December 25th that we celebrate.
No, there isn't.
That, yeah, it is. That's
no,
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus was not born in December, nor was he born on December 25th.
You
there's
speak
no evidence.
You speak lies, fat man.
Where in the Bible does it say Jesus?
You was born? Speak lies, fat man.
I'm just saying, I've never read the Bible, but I've also never read that part.
When was Jesus born then?
There's not a date given, but there's a time of year. And so, more than likely, he was born during a warmer month. He wasn't born in the middle of December. He wasn't born, you know, during a frigid, cold winter.
So is it all in the name of commercialism? I mean, is it...
No. Okay, this is...
Then, then why do we celebrate December 25th, O wise one?
At one point, it was a pagan holiday. And in order to incorporate these pagans into saying, oh, well, no, our religion is fun and awesome. It's kind of just like your religion. Look, Jesus was born around this day. Why the fuck not? And they just incorporated some of their rituals into the actual canon. But it wasn't actually canonized or whatever the hell you want to call it. But no, Jesus wasn't born. This is a celebration of Jesus being born, but it's not his birthday.
But then, it is a celebration of Jesus being born, which is what this is all...
It's not his birthday.
Which is what it's all for.
Okay, my girlfriend's birthday
was a while ago,
but we celebrated it on Saturday because we had time off.
I just don't see why... Who gives a shit if there's, like, a bunch of people, plastic people out in the yard, you know, kneeling around a baby?
Okay,
I mean, like, why does it matter? Why?
Would you feel the same way if they had...
Okay, let's say tomorrow,
yeah,
I invent Mike-ism.
Yeah.
And a part of Mike-ism is that I'm offended by the image of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Therefore, can I, you know, say, okay, well, Santa Claus offends me.
Yeah.
So he needs to be removed from any government offices.
Well, no, because Santa Claus is secular, just like the Christmas tree. Santa Claus has nothing to do with Jesus.
But Santa Claus is, you know, going around and giving people presents because it's Jesus' birthday.
Well, no.
That's why he's giving presents. What is he giving presents for?
Because it's Christmas.
I don't understand any of this.
Okay, there's two Christmases. There's
okay.
The religious side of it, and then there's the secular side of it, which is, you know, meeting up with family, giving gifts. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you need to hand each other shit.
Yeah.
Or even be around each
other. So that's all just, you know.
This is commercial.
Okay.
This is for you to buy shit.
So
this is Valentine's Day. This is...
Yeah.
This is for you to hawk shit.
So then lights are okay.
Lights are okay.
Trees are okay.
Trees are okay.
Snowmen are okay.
Snowmen are okay.
Santa's fine.
Santa's fine. The Virgin Mary giving birth to Jesus Christ is not okay.
You know, that's what it should be. It should be like the Virgin Mary, like, with her legs up, like, shooting a baby out. I mean, it shouldn't just be like the whole nativity scene thing. It should just be like a birth.
I think that's what it is, but in a more clothed fashion.
Well, I mean, if we're going to offend people, we might as well go all out, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what if they somehow incorporated all religions into the nativity scene to, like, you know, not exclude anyone, so then it would be okay, right?
That's,
I mean,
actually,
like,
not against the law. If you...
Okay, so if you include everybody.
I'm talking,
the African guy with the little hat,
yeah,
for Kwanzaa, like the hat that looks like a little, little
yeah,
Debbie cupcake, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And they got a... who else do we need?
There's
all I know about Jews is dreidels, so I guess there would be dreidels involved. you know, just because this is, you know.
I guess the Muslims would, they do something. I don't know what they do. They do something.
The Muslims do something at this time of year, too?
Yeah, I think the Shinto does something, too. I don't know.
What the hell is a Shinto?
It's a Japanese ancestor worship kind of thing. I don't really follow it.
So is it everybody's Jesus' birthday today? Like, you know, all the Jesus variations?
No, not really.
Huh.
Just, you know, it's about the time of winter.
Okay. Since we're on the subject of Christmas and everybody else's Christmas and stuff.
Yeah.
What is Kwanzaa?
It doesn't matter.
No.
Who gives a shit?
Well, I'm curious.
Black people don't care about Kwanzaa.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what is it? What are they celebrating?
I have no idea.
Is that made up?
No. Well,
is there something behind
it? Everything is made up.
Or are they just like, you know, we're black people, we need our own things.
You know,
so
you have the
Kwanzaa.
Internet. Why don't you just go to Wiki?
Laura, do you know what Kwanzaa is? yeah, okay. Well, then I'll look up what Kwanzaa is and type in Kwanzaa. We're going to learn some. Is that how you spell Kwanzaa?
No, it isn't.
It has too many A's in it. Kwanzaa is a week-long celebration. How long is Hanukkah? Is that eight?
Yeah, I think it's like
days.
8 days.
So this is one less day than Hanukkah. It's a week-long celebration held in the United States honoring universal African heritage and culture, observed from December 26th to January 1st. They're a day late. They start Kwanzaa a day after Christmas.
It's not a day late. It's just a day different.
It features activities such as the lighting of a kinara and libations, and culminating in a feast and gift-giving. It was created by Malana Karinga. It was first 1966. From December 26th. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's right.
So, this was made in the United States.
Yeah.
As a way to celebrate African heritage.
Something that most people of African descent don't really give a shit about.
Huh. Is that... So, there's, like, nobody really... Okay, so what is this?
Oh, that's the second part.
They Muminated it back to a yard in front of the... They put it back?
Yeah, this is what I was getting to.
Okay.
You can't put a nativity scene in front of, a courthouse or, you know, a government building... if you tell other people, they can't put up their wacky bullshit.
Oh, okay.
So
it's only illegal if everybody else can't join in?
Yeah. If you're not excluding anybody, you can do it. But if you tell somebody, no, you can't, then it's discrimination, and it's against the First Amendment, and all that other kind of shit, so...
But isn't it against the... I may be ignorant to this, but isn't it against the First Amendment to tell them they can't put it there? I'm seeing it the other way.
Can.
I mean, like, you're saying it's against the First Amendment to, you know, put it there and discriminate people.
Oh, no, I'm
people.
Not saying... Okay, let me clarify.
But isn't it against...
I'm not saying it's against the First Amendment to put... the nativity scene, I think they shouldn't, and it's retarded.
Yeah.
However, if they want to put it there, that's fine. Everybody else gets to put up some of their wacky, dumb shit, too. And that includes atheist and whatever secular shit that they want to put up there. If they want to put something up there that the town doesn't like, and I'm not saying, like, they should be able to put up, like, something that says, there's no Jesus or, you know, there's no God, anything like that. But something secular of the same type of message, whatever the fuck they want to put up, the Jews can put it up, Muslims can put it up, whatever the Satanists, the pagans, the Wiccans, they can put up whatever the fuck they want to, and they have to be able to put it up, and they have to display it in the same type of manner, with the same type of exposure, in the same size plot of land. They can't just put it in the back. So, as long as everybody else can put up their dumb bullshit.
Not
necessarily do.
Just allowing them to if they choose to.
But they can't tell them they can't. So if they say, you put, hey, this was like, you know, a good 30-foot plot of land that you gave to this little nativity scene, I want to put up my altar to Satan.
Were you in the Christmas play?
No.
Like when you were a kid?
No. I've never done a Christmas play. I don't think I've gone to church in 16 years.
It
might even be 20.
I was the old wise man in my preschool Christmas play. I had one line. It's a mighty fine boy there, mighty fine. That was it.
Yeah, I never really did anything like that.
Yeah.
Weren't really a church-going people.
And it was fucked up because my beard got switched out with Santa's beard. So Santa had a big, long, scraggly beard, and I had kind of like a fluffy, cool beard. Now, on a lighter note, speaking of beards, did you notice that, like, the only snowman in history to have a goatee was the snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No, also the one from Elf, but I think that was the same one.
Yeah, I think it was the same one. But, like, how come goatees aren't, like, a common thing with snowmen? Shouldn't there be more facial hair in the snowman community?
Well, how would you make...
I mean, especially if the most iconic snowman in history sported one.
Well, how do snowmen grow beards?
I don't know, but that one had one. So wouldn't you think that that would be, you know, kind of like a big deal?
Well, little kids don't normally make snowmen with beards.
I mean, you know, name a snowman bigger than the snowman who told the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
There Frosty. Isn't a,
oh, yeah, Frosty would be bigger, wouldn't yeah. he? Yeah, you got me there.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man didn't have no fucking beard. He just went around fucking.
He didn't fuck, did he?
Yeah, he fucked buildings.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a goddamn boss.
That's probably the first thing I would do if I was a gigantic, you know, marshmallow creature that was terrorizing a city. I'd fuck me some buildings.
Yep. I'd just go around fuckalas and...
Okay, I have another question for you.
So
we're just going to go right down the list of questions that I had for you.
Yeah.
Pedophiles, right? Yep. If you know, you were a moral enough pedophile... I mean, I assume that pedophiles, like, you know...
A moral pedophile?
Well, no. I mean, like, I don't think that morality has anything to do with, like, your desire to want to fuck kids.
I don't know. Would you say a moral rapist?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I mean, I think that they have a desire because they have a desire, and I imagine that there's probably pedophiles out there that are attracted to kids that don't fuck kids just because they know it's wrong.
Oh, like the diaper fetish thing?
My question is,
yeah,
would dating a midget be a reasonable alternative? I mean, like, because...
They're kind of not the same proportions. I mean...
Well, but they're close. It, you know, if you are attracted to children because, you know, you think they're hot or whatever, or is it, like, the danger? Is it the danger, or is it that you're attracted to little things?
I don't know. I'm not a pedophile, so I can't answer that. Maybe they like midgets, but I've never
I'm
heard
just,
of.
I'm
like,
just wondering, you know, if
is there a substitute? I don't think well, there is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you.
It's not like the foot fetish where you can just go into, you know, the mall casually and pick up. Oh, I'm getting these pumps for my wife. I want you to model these on for me for about 5 minutes. I'm going to go home and smell them. I don't think there's a. Oh wait, yeah, there is. There's like little Japanese companies out there that make fuck dolls in the shape of little kids, but they got anime faces on it, so it's not fucked up,
yeah.
I guess.
But, you know, so it's not fucked up. I mean, it's already fucked up. Would marketing that, you think, you know,
I mean, they
save
you.
Some kids from getting diddled? Maybe they ought to just put it on the market.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you know, if you can...
Do you think the Fleshlight saves anybody from getting raped?
I don't know. Maybe.
Really?
Well,
because
sure.
When you rape a girl, like, you don't have to clean out the little storage compartment.
That's not very nice, what you just said. I mean, you know, it's true, but not very nice.
No.
That was pretty awful.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
There's no cleanup involved in rape. Unless you kill her.
And then you...
Well, then you got to clean up the body. You can't just leave the body there.
Well, you can.
I guess you could, yeah.
I mean, I guess
you're a messy fuck.
If you're, you know, in such a fit of, you know, sexual rage that you got to go up and fuck somebody, you know, without their consent, then, you know, you're probably not too concerned about, you know,
yeah,
cleaning up dead bodies. That
I don't know. I'm pretty sure, like, after they're done, they're, like, thinking clearly, like, oh, God, I probably shouldn't leave this body here with my semen in it.
Yeah, but I'm not motivated to do anything right after I splooge except take a nap.
I mean, maybe that might change if you got a dead body underneath you.
Do you think?
I don't know. I've heard of, you know, weird shit, like people getting caught fucking dead bodies. I mean...
This isn't very Christmassy.
No.
I was trying to, you know, keep it classy because it was the Christmas episode. But
did you want to talk about the war on Christmas?
The war on... What, didn't we already talk about the war
on
Christmas?
No, this is different.
Oh, well, let's talk about it.
Okay, the war on Christmas is this made-up horseshit where a bunch of retards think that they're martyrs and they're, oh, there's a war on Christmas. They're trying to take away our Jesus. And they give some bullshit examples that have nothing to do with anything. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them grasp at straws. It's like a martyr complex. They're just trying to be persecuted, and they're trying to have people against them when nobody gives a shit what they're doing. It's like running around with your fingers in your ass. Like, you can't stop me from putting my fingers in my ass. I don't think I want to.
Yeah.
I don't think, yeah.
Like both, like a finger from each hand, or
I guess it,
like to pull it open.
I guess the whole fist.
Ooh. But then you're saying, you know, my hand and my ass, not fingers, right?
Well, I mean, like up to like the second knuckle.
Okay, so not to change the subject, although I'm going to completely change the subject.
Yep.
There was a news story that I was reading today that a group of explorers found bone fragments on an island that could be remains of Amelia Earhart.
Yep.
But they said in the article that they may not be they may be bone fragments of a turtle.
Yeah.
So they very well could be Amelia Earhart's, you know, bone fragments. Or they could be any other creature that has ever lived ever's bones.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, they could be, you know, Jimmy Hoffa's bones.
Who knows?
They could be dinosaur bones.
I have a question. Did you actually see, like, them digging up the bones?
No, I just read an article about it.
I actually saw a little bit of them digging up the bones.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing. Why would Amelia Earhart die naked? Like, did she take off her clothes before?
Was that in the 60s?
No, way before then.
No, yeah, no, like the 30s?
I'd say around there. I don't know the exact date, but yeah, I mean, when they were digging up the bones, they weren't taking clothing with them.
Yeah.
Well, it was just bones.
Do you think that the clothing would have biodegraded by now or something?
Not likely. Not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, she...
Well, I just think it's funny that the article is basically saying, hey, we were on an island and we found bones. And they very well could be Amelia Earhart's bones, or they could be bones of anything.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, that's a really solid news story.
Yes, it is.
I drank a Coke for lunch today that could have been canned by somebody that works for Coca-Cola. Or it could have been canned by Lady Gaga.
Yep.
I mean, it could have been. I don't know.
the only way you could do that is to test.
I mean, honestly, and how would you even test?
Test bones.
No, I'm talking about the coke. How would you trace back where the coke came from?
Well, I first off, I would take a look at the can and see whose name is written on it.
Do they write their names on them? Is it like really microscopic? You got to look at it under a microscope?
You were talking about a can of coke.
Yeah.
Was it outside of the can?
What?
Your coke.
Was what outside of the can?
The soda. Did somebody empty the soda for you in a nondescript glass?
It could have been canned by anybody. I'm just saying.
Well, there's evidence that would say otherwise. If it says Coca-Cola on it, it's written in Coca-Cola.
Yes, stencils. But I mean, you know, maybe somebody took a tour of the Coke plant that day and decided, hey, I want to, you know, put some of my own soda in some of these cans.
Do you think that would be, though?
Well, how likely is it that, you know, it's somebody's bones? You never know.
It's somebody's bones.
It's some, or some things.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Not really, but okay.
It is bones. I mean, they're not... I mean, it's not rock.
And where do they have Amelia Earhart's DNA laying around that they can compare it to?
Well, they don't, but they can test if it's human. And they can test if it's white. They can test for how long it's been there. There's a whole bunch of things they can test for.
Yeah.
They can test for ancestry. They can test for possible date range of death.
Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Isn't it about time he came back? When was he supposed to come back?
Well,
is there some kind of... Did he, like, tell you when he was coming back?
Well, this is the thing. So all the people that were actually, you know, writing the Bible,
yeah,
when Jesus died and he said he was coming back, they thought he meant, like, in a month.
So
that's
still
what they were assuming.
They're still waiting?
Yeah, they've been waiting. They were assuming a month, a year.
And let me ask you another question. If someone were to come forward and, like, go on national television and say... Dude, I'm Jesus. I'm back.
People do that all the time.
Would anybody believe him?
Yeah.
They would?
Yeah, there's actually... Did you ever see Penn & Teller's bullshit?
Yeah. Oh, the one when
The Mexican Jesus?
Yeah, the Mexican... Yeah, I remember him.
He has followers.
So some people do believe, but...
There are cults everywhere.
I mean, like, how would real-life Jesus even prove that, you know, he was Jesus? Would he do, like, some Chris Angel mind freak shit, or what would he do?
I think he'd have to.
Or would he just, like, you know, open up the sky and be like, bitches, I'm Jesus, I'm back, you know, so when you see this face, you know it be Jesus. I don't know why my Jesus talks like that, but...
Neither do I.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure there are things that Jesus could do that regular people could not do, and if you say, hey, Jesus, do something that I can't do. And it better be more than one of those little fucking fushigi balls making it go all over the goddamn place. It better be something magical.
I guess the other big news is don't ask, don't tell. What is your thoughts on that?
I'm glad it's over.
Well, I mean, like, what? So don't ask, don't tell was basically, if you're gay, don't tell us, and we won't ask you.
Yeah, but that didn't really happen.
So now, if you're gay, you can just be gay?
Yep.
So, that was kind of goofy to begin with.
Yeah, now, if there's a draft, you just can't say, hey, look, I'm a fanny banger.
Yeah.
I fuck dudes. Guess that means I ain't going.
I'm a fanny banger.
I heard a motherfucker say one time that if there was ever a draft, he would butt fuck his friend in front of the recruiting office and say, guess I'm not going. See, he pulled down and sucked the dude's dick. Am I gay now? Now you can't do that no more. You can't fuck your friend in a recruiting office and get out of it.
Yeah, you know, would that be acceptable?
What?
Like, if they're already not very tolerant of the gays, you know, I imagine that if, like, you whipped your dick out and started fucking another dude right in front of them, they'd be pretty pissed off.
Now, they'd probably call the cops, but I don't think, you know...
Yeah.
Might not be going nowhere, but I wouldn't worry too much about a draft today, now that we got all those gays.
Well, and one would ask, you know, if under that kind of pressure you could still get a boner and get it in some dude's ass. Then,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's something to say about that. I mean, how would you even, you know, accomplish that?
Well, if you were so afraid about getting drafted and going to war that you would, you know, pull down your pants and then...
I mean, that's pressure, man. Like, in that situation, to, like, you know, be able to get a big raging hard on.
Not a problem for me.
You can just get a hard on under any... Like, if I give you 5 minutes and just say, okay, have a boner in 5 minutes, you could pull it off?
Yep.
Wow, you have that kind of control?
Yep.
You have, like, a super dick.
I am an awesome penis.
Wow. I don't think that's the case with most... Or maybe I'm weird. Maybe I'm weird.
It ain't that big. It's not much blood that's moving down there.
Oh, okay. So how do you focus it? You just... I mean, do you just, you know, close your eyes and think about boobies, or...
I think about puppies going into a wood chipper.
And that excites you?
No.
Oh.
Women crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Women crying.
Yeah, that's why I watch American Idol.
They open their mouths really wide, too.
Yeah.
And they have that microphone right, you know, like they're about to put it right in their mouth. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, after so many years, you can just tell now, like, you're getting, like, you know, you're getting your super hard on, you're getting your jerk on, and then, you know, some girl comes over and, like, obviously she has no singing talent at all. You can just tell, like, just from looking at her, like, oh, this is going to be a good one. Give it to me, baby. Oh, yeah. You've got all these dreams. Show me those dreams crushed. Do it, Simon. Fucker. And then, boom, dead. Like, oh, Mom. They said I was a guy who have no talent. I'm going to show them. Like, oh, you show them, baby. You show them. I'll be back next year. Or I don't need them. I'll succeed on my own.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah, you and, like, everybody else there, baby. You got so many dreams.
Yeah, you see those thousands and thousands of people out there. Their dreams are going to be crushed, too. And they're going to be right there with you. Ooh, yeah.
It's only boner killing when, like, you know, some gay dude comes up there and tries to sing some Little Orphan Annie song. Like, oh, that just killed my boner. That's not even hot. Some balding dude that looks kind of like David Cross getting his hopes and dreams crushed from singing show tunes on the goddamn picture box. Like, I don't know if that's doing it for me. Kills my boner like a fucking Mack truck hitting a deer.
I was making a list on Facebook the other day of things that are funnier than Bill Engvall.
I think the list would be better if there was things that aren't funnier than Bill Engvall.
Can you name one? You can't, can you?
It's really hard. It's not. Yeah, this isn't easy.
I don't think there is one. I mean, we were, you know, throwing out, you know, child rape and murdering animals and like all kinds of stuff. And there wasn't anything that was not funnier than Bill. Somebody said date rape, and I mean, in my opinion, date rape is the funniest of all the rapes. It was like, you know, you were charming enough to get the date. You took them out on the date. And then, like, at some point, you were like, I'm not going to get laid. This is bullshit. And fucked her.
You know what's even funnier than that?
What?
Having a really good date. Taking her home. And then, you know, she agrees to it.
Yeah.
Make her change her mind and force her to do it anyway.
Make her change her mind, yep, about agreeing to it?
Yep.
Like, what would you, like, call her fat and then rape her? I don't understand.
It doesn't matter. Just make her change, like, just do it. Make her change her mind. Like, I was going to have sex with you, but now I'm not. Like, oh, so you think.
Then what would you even say? The best part would be to get the consent on tape.
No, you don't have to.
No, I guess you don't, do you?
No, you don't have to. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Not the point at all.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter anyway.
Nope, doesn't matter. This was going to happen either way. Come out there in a Jason mask with some weird bondage cut Speedo looking things with only your balls hanging out, just swinging around in the breeze. She's like, oh, I don't know if I'm into this. I'm going to be into you. Teehee.
Is Santa immortal?
Yeah, he's got to be.
Or, like, is it like that Tim Allen movie and, like, they just get a new Santa every, you know, 30 or so years?
No, because there's never been a black Santa, and obviously they would change different skin tones throughout the year. They can't all just be white.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually it's going to fall to a black guy, and then what are they? What's going to happen to all the commercials?
Well,
it's all white Santas.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I would think that a black Santa would be, you know, probably a good idea because, you know...
Like Hubert?
The blacks are good athletes. You know, they could probably, you know, get the job done pretty quick.
Yeah, but not when they're fat. They get a lot of diabetes that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't want to have, Santa Claus can't eat milk and cookies no more. Well, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
You know who would have been an awesome Santa?
Who?
Hubert.
I miss Hubert. You think he's dead?
He's dead?
No, I'm asking. Do you think he's
no,
dead?
Oh, no, I don't know if he's dead or not.
Oh. Yeah. Well, for those who don't know Hubert, Hubert was a black guy that we worked with at Pizza Hut. He also worked for the railroad. And pretty much when he didn't feel like coming in, he would just call in and say, I have to go work at the railroad. And my first day at Pizza Hut, my very first day, Hubert walked back. I had never met him. He walked in at 6 o'clock, saw that there was a new guy, and he walked right up to me, and he grabbed me by the front of my shirt, and he got his face right in my face, and he said, you ever been fucked by a black dude? And I said, no. And he goes, come on, we going to the bathroom. And he started pulling me into the bathroom, and, like, you know, he almost got me around the corner, and Bobby just happened to walk back up to the front and saw that, you know, Hubert was pulling me into the bathroom, and he goes, Hubert, don't fuck Mike. And Hubert goes, oh, all right, Bobby, and let me go. And honestly, I mean, you know, I it's real easy to say that he was joking, but... I mean, if Bobby didn't tell him not to fuck me, would he have fucked me? Would he have fucked me?
Do you look like you're fuckable?
Well, I don't know.
Need to figure that out.
I think he probably would have fucked me. That's sad. That freaks me out. Me and him would have a totally different relationship, you know, after that. I mean, I worked with him for 6 years after that. And it would have been very awkward if, you know, my first day he had fucked me.
Do you remember when the fat Mexican Andrew Guajardo, whatever his name was, when he was upset about his girlfriend and Tom was trying to convince him to go kill himself in front of the highway?
Well, in Tom's defense, he made it through like a week. He made it through like a week of this guy coming in every day and saying that his girlfriend broke up with him and he thinks he's just going to kill himself.
I'm just going to kill myself, man. You know, I loved her so much and... And what am I going to do now?
And finally, Tom just had enough, and he just said, fine, just go fucking kill yourself. Just fucking walk out on the Halls Fair. Who gives a shit? Just stop fucking talking about it. We're tired of hearing you talk about killing yourself. And the guy said, fine, I'm going to go kill myself. And, like, left. He left. And Tom felt really bad. He thought that the guy was actually going to go kill himself. And, I mean, you know... I guess you would feel bad, you know, if you told a guy to go kill himself and he went and killed himself.
He didn't even like Andrew. Why would he give a shit?
You don't think that that would be... Do you think that would be funnier than Bill Engvall?
I actually think it would be. I don't think there's anything less funny than Bill Engvall. And if you told me it, I would have to seriously consider it. It would take me a while. I mean, I don't know what could be... Oh, what about Rodney Carrington?
Do you think Rodney Carrington is...
I think he is less funny than Bill Engvall.
Really?
Yeah, he sucks.
But he puts like, the same kind of Bill Engvall stupid humor to shitty country music.
Yeah,
which
makes
is kind
it worse.
Of, do you think it
that
does?
That makes it so much worse. Shitty country music and shitty jokes?
I don't know. Bill Engvall is incredibly not funny.
You know who's really close to being as shitty as Bill Engvall? Dennis Miller.
I like Dennis Miller. I think Dennis Miller's funny.
Have you listened to anything he's done in the last 5 years?
Are you talking in the last 5 years?
Yeah, in the last 5 years, Dennis Miller has become
complete shit. Dennis Miller has, you know, the ability to be funny. He just hasn't been. I mean, he was funny at one time. I mean,
okay.
He was funny on Saturday Night Live. He was funny on his... I watched his HBO show all the time.
Okay, this was his bit. He would do little jokes and then do a comparison of something that's completely...
The only thing that bothered me about Dennis Miller...
We are so bent on figuring everything out about animals. They're just animals. We don't have to figure... Like, all right, great example.
I don't like
his
face.
In California, in the desert, they found bones of this prehistoric porpoise. And they're saying it's interesting because this porpoise's upper jaw sticks out a lot further than his lower jaw. So I'm figuring he's got to look like...
Yeah, visual humor.
Yep.
Don't worry,
you're not
missing
anything. And they're trying to figure out if his upper jaw was used during sex or for eating. And I'm thinking, you know what? You can rule out sex. Because if you look like this, sex ain't happening, all right? I mean, what if it's just a...
Do you think that they, like, pump some kind of... gas into the audience to make them laugh? I mean, those people were like slapping their knees and they thought that was hilarious.
That's because they're morons.
But no, the thing that bothers me about Dennis Miller is like he tries to prove that he's smarter than you.
No, he just wants to prove it's not really a smarter thing. It's a well-read kind of thing. He makes these weird-ass comparisons.
Yeah, well, that, and I mean, he throws a lot of, like, big words around that nobody else ever uses, ever. To the point where when you watch him do stand-up, you almost have to, like, bring, like, a dictionary with you.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, Dennis Miller, when I watched, I haven't watched him recently. I don't know anything about him recently.
I've listened to the words that he's saying. I know the words.
No, I'm just...
They're just not everyday words. I'm not sure why he's using them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm getting at, is that he likes to use words that aren't commonly used as, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just nitpicking. But you were saying something.
No, that's what he does. And
yeah.
I don't know why he's trying to do it. I mean, I understand, you know, people... There are, of course... people who don't like dumb humor like Larry the Cable Guy, and they don't like that simplistic fart joke shit.
Well, you know what? The thing is, Larry the Cable Guy is not my cup of tea. He's never been my cup of tea. But if you watch a Larry the Cable Guy special, you might laugh.
I mean,
you might.
No, I'm not saying he's not funny.
Larry the Cable Guy is occasionally funny. Bill Engvall is just not. There's nothing funny about him. He's the guy that tries way too hard that you just feel bad for.
He's like somebody's, like, retarded uncle where you're, like, getting together in the New Year's and, like, oh, it's your uncle trying to be funny.
Yeah.
That's Bill Engvall.
Yeah. And, you know, at some point somebody told him he was hilarious.
Yeah. And then eventually he tried to make a career out of it. But
well, and you know,
I get to hear that shit every Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, he's insanely successful, which bothers the fuck out of me.
His success comes off the back of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour,
yeah.
Which came off the success of Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah,
Jeff Foxworthy headlined that goddamn show and brought his goddamn friends. More power to him.
Hey, you know what? You know what's really funny about that is. They're going out on tour again.
Yep.
Only Ron White is now not a part of it.
Yep.
Which is hilarious because he was the funniest part.
Yeah, he was.
And now he's just not involved in it anymore. And the explanation for that isn't that they're not friends anymore. It's that his comedy has gone in a different direction. Which I guess means, you know, it's not, you know, suitable for Walmart or whatever because, I don't know, it's just, it's funny that the funniest part is now gone. I mean, like, you know, I guess in the popularity scale, he would be fourth, I guess. You think maybe they're just making more money without him? I don't know.
Well, Ron White's humor is different than their humor. Ron White is actually... I enjoy listening to Ron White.
Well, he's more... I guess he's a little bit more blue than the other ones.
Yeah. The rest of it's not blue-collar comedy. It's retard comedy. I mean, it's the lowest common denominator, idiot fucking redneck humor, and it's not blue-collar, it's just idiot.
Yeah.
When did blue-collar become synonymous with fucking moron?
I don't know. I guess, you know, the working man is... that's almost kind of like an insult, isn't it?
Yes, it is an insult. It's not blue-collar comedy. It's fucking redneck, dumbass shit.
It's the fuck you, stupid tour.
It's the live in the middle of nowhere, making meth in the back of your fucking pappy's truck humor. Mm. There's no way of explaining it other than that. It's not blue-collar. Ron White is blue-collar.
Yeah.
Everybody else is fucking retard in the back of the little short bus humor.
Hmm.
I mean, Larry the Cable Guy is a fucking... His comedy's fucking moronic.
Well, what's funny about Larry the Cable Guy is, like, that guy isn't that... He's playing a character.
I mean,
like, he isn't... Like, he was like a New York comic that was not doing well.
No, I heard he was in Florida.
Oh, and
he was a Southern Florida comic, but he actually lived in the Midwest. He moved to Florida
when
he was like 16 or 17. Like who he was developed in the Midwest. He moved down to Florida, and I've seen his stand-up before he turned into Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah,
you know, like what's his name from wrestling? He had Socko.
Oh, did he really?
No. What's his name? Socko, the guy from the WWE. He had the little sock.
Mankind.
Yeah, Mankind. And his other little... He changed personas like every other season. That's Larry the Cable Guy. Larry the Cable Guy is doing a bit.
Larry the Cable Guy before Redneck.
Yeah. And it's fucking awful.
Good to be here. I'll tell you what. You know, I just went to visit my grandma. She's got Alzheimer's disease. Tried to put her in a home. It's a nice place. It's called... Huh? I'm kidding. She laughed when I told her that. For the fourth time.
He's got a Hasselhoff here.
Grandma's just like... Nobody gets along with her. She's just like...
So I guess doing that with a country accent is funny?
Yeah.
So he's doing the same jokes, it's just not...
No, they're not really...
One time she almost died, the angel of death came out of her room all frustrated, going, golly, what a bitch! So the angel of death walks, by the way. She broke her leg.
So I guess it's kind of like the Pee Wee Herman Paul Rubens thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you just kind of are that character now. Or Stephen Colbert, I guess, even.
No, Stephen Colbert turns it off, like, when he's not in the little studio. Larry the Cable Guy, he was doing a little interview. He said he can turn it on and off at will.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly the Paul Rubin kind of thing. But have you read or listened to David Cross's open letter to Larry the Cable Guy?
No.
It's fucking amazing. It's on YouTube. It's the audio version of it. And it's fucking hilarious. It's two parts. It's kind of long. It's like 15, 20 minutes.
Jesus.
He's just ranting on Larry the Cable Guy. And fuck Larry the Cable Guy.
Well,
I don't
know if we can do 15 minutes.
No, probably not. But let's just listen to the opening part. We'll listen to it together.
Hi, everybody. The following is a letter I wrote after picking up Get Her Done, the Larry the Cable Guy story, ghostwritten by Susan Sontag. I have to warn you that this letter is nearly 11 pages long, but who gives a shit? You're not reading it, I'm reading it to you, so don't be lazy. But you know what? I think it's chock full of life lessons for all of us. And if you're not careful, you just might learn something. an open letter to Larry the Cable Guy. Hello, Larry. It's me, David Cross. Recently, I was shooting something for my friends at Wondershowzen, the funniest, most subversive comedy on American TV at the moment, and that's why it was canceled. And when we were taking a break, one of the guys on the show asked me if I had seen some article in Something Somewhere wherein you were interviewed to promote your new book, Please Get Her Done, published by Crown Books, $23.95 U.S., and they asked about your devoting a chapter to slamming me and the, quote, PC left, unquote. Since I stopped following your career shortly after you stopped going on stage wearing a tool belt with cables wrapped around your neck, right around your appearance at Laps and Food in Enid, Oklahoma, like August 23rd to 26, 1999, something like around there, I said I wasn't aware of the article, and they went on to tell me that you said basically, and I'm not quoting but paraphrasing their recall, that I could kiss your ass, that I've never been to one of your shows, which is true, and that I didn't know your audience, which is untrue. So I went and got your book, Getting Her Dunned, and excitedly skimmed past the joke about that one time you farted and something farty happened, on past the thing about the fat girl who farted, and finally found it. Chapter 5, Media Madness! Well, needless to say, I farted. I farted up a fart storm right there in the Flying J Travel Center. I fartingly bought the book and took it home with an excitement I haven't experienced since I got Bertha Chud Farter's grandma drunk and she took her teeth out and blew me as I was finger banging her while wearing a Jesus sock puppet in the back of a boiler room at the Church of Redeemer off 520. I don't care who you are, that's funny! Anywho, I got home and read the good parts. It seems that you were pissed off at Rolling Stone magazine, and I can understand why. You made some good points in your argument as well. I agree that there is an elitism and bias in the press, and too often a writer will include asides to show the reader how smart he or she is and how above it they are. But come on. Surely you can't be surprised, or worse, hurt or offended by this. You even say in the book that you knew what you were getting into, Rolling Stone being all lefty and whatnot. Certainly I'm not surprised that they took a 10-minute phone conversation with me and chose to print only the most inflammatory paragraph within it. That's what they do. But I want to address some of the things you write about me in Get to Getting Her Done, in response to the Rolling Stone article. But first, let me say this.
He changes the name of the book every single time he reads it. You know, I like David Cross's comedy, but I bet he's just a huge prick. I bet he's not fun to hang out with at all.
Nah, probably not.
I mean, like, you know, he's funny, but I bet, like, just talking to him, it would be a chore. Do you disagree with me?
I don't know.
There's some celebrities that, like, when you see them, they give off a persona that says, you know, I bet that person would be fun to hang out with. Like, I mean, off the top of my head, like, Drew Carey. I mean, like,
yeah.
I'm not really a huge fan of Drew Carey, but I bet if you went and hung out with Drew Carey, he'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Will Arnett, speaking of people that were on Arrested Development, Will Arnett was on Howard not too long ago, and he seems like a really cool guy.
Yeah.
I would hang the fuck out with some Will Arnett. But David Cross, he just kind of seems like he'd be a big douche.
I don't know. I know people that, at least the, from what I get off of him on his little tours and
yeah,
whatever he does on stage, I know people like that. I work with people like that. Not really their friends. But
you are,
at the same time, he's funny. I love his comedy.
Yeah.
Very mistaken if you think that I don't know your audience. Hell, I could have been heckled by the parents of some of the very people that come see you now. I grew up in Roswell, Georgia, near the Funny Bone and not far from the Punchline. In fact, the very first time I went on stage was at the Punchline in Sandy Springs in 1982 when I was 17. I cut my teeth in the South, and my first road gigs ever were in Augusta, Charleston, Baton Rouge, and Louisville. I remember them very well, specifically because of the audience. I remember thinking, occasionally, not all the time, man, what a bunch of dumb, redneck, easily entertained, ignorant motherfuckers. I can't believe the stupid shit they think is funny. So yes, I do know your audience, and they suck, and they're simple. And please, don't mistake this as coming from a place of bitterness because I didn't make it there, or I'm not as successful as you, because that's not it at all. Since I was a kid, I've always been a little oversensitive to the glorification and rewarding of dumb.
See, the salt of the earth, regular everyday folk, or lowest common denominator, who see the world and the people like me in it as on some sort of secular mission to take away their flag lapels and plaster Paris Jesus television adornments, strike me as childishly paranoid. But perhaps the funniest or oddest thing in your book is you taking me to task for being PC. Have you heard my act? I will match your un-PC-ness any day of the week, my friend. I truly believe, and have said on stage, amongst other things, that Orthodox Jews are bar none the most annoying people as a group that walk this earth. I absolutely refuse to say the term African-American. It's a ridiculous and ill-applied label that was accepted with a thoughtless rush just to make white people feel at ease and slightly noble. I also believe that in the right setting, that as unfortunate as it may be, retarded people can be a near constant source of entertainment. Fact. Larry, as far as audiences are concerned, whether northern, southern, straight, gay, male, female, liberal, conservative, Christian, or Jew, I've walked them all. It didn't matter if it was a room full of enlightened, hippie, lesbian Wiccans at Catch a Rising Star in Cambridge, Massachusetts, or literally hundreds of students at the University of St. Louis, a Jesuit school, or a room full of the cutest, angriest frat boys in Baton Rouge, all threatening to beat me up. I un-PC'd the shit out of them. That's another thing that bothers me, too. I honestly believe that if we had worked a week together at whatever dumbass club in American strip mall number 29,834 in God's country USA and hung out that week and got good and drunk after the shows, that you and I would have been making each other laugh. I imagine we would have politely disagreed on a few things, but not only would we be laughing, but we'd often be laughing at the expense of some of the audience members at that night's show, and you know it. I'll address your easy, bullshit, sanctimonious, don't mess with my audience crap further on. But for now, let's get a little ding dong done.
Yeah, so there's like 20 minutes of that. Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Well, I mean, Larry the Cable Guy is an easy target. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but the point is he makes it an easy target. I mean, it's not like people are going out hunting him, trying to find the things to peck on him. He gives it to him.
Yeah.
He presents it. It's like wearing crotchless pants. Oh, your dick's hanging out. Why is your dick hanging out?
Still funnier than Bill Engvall.
Everything is.
Everything.
Not Rodney Carrington, of course.
That is a contest that I would like to have. If anyone can name something that I agree is not funnier than Bill Engvall, you win.
Well, I named Rodney Carrington, or does that count?
I don't think it counts. I think Rodney Carrington at one point or another has made me laugh.
Really?
Well, I mean,
Rodney
Carrington. He's not funny.
No, of course not.
But do you really think he's funny, or he's less funny than Bill Engvall?
I would say so.
Wow.
Just because if he didn't have the little guitar.
Yeah.
Probably going to be better. But because he adds country music, because of the additional country music, straight to the shit. There is nothing redeeming about Rodney Carrington. Except for, you know,
titties and babes. I thank God Almighty for titties and babes.
His audience all has titties and beer t-shirts.
There's one thing that he lacks, and that titties and beer. Little titties and beer. I said great big titties and my beer. God, I love you. It's that day. Come here. Who's your daddy?
Crowd's eating that shit up, man.
And who the hell is to say that that's lowest common denominator?
I don't know.
Talking about titties and beer.
Well, I mean, you know, what do we talk about?
Well, we're not on stage doing this shit.
Yeah.
I don't even think anybody. I think we just do this as masturbation.
Yeah.
I don't think. We've had one person call in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're above them.
Why? Because we have no listeners?
Exactly.
So if we had an audience, then we'd be just as awful as them?
Yep. But we don't. Therefore, we're better than they are.
Huh. I guess that's one way of looking at it, I guess.
Because at least we're not doing harm to society.
You don't...
There we go.
Yeah? Huh. We're awful.
No, we're neutral.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm considerably depressed now. We just went full circle.
Yep.
Huh. Well, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, motherfucker. God damn you all to hell. And eat shit and die and see you in hell, faggots.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Hey, it's Napier. Go to wfodicks.blogspot.com. It's our fucking blog. Then, when you're done with that, go to wfodicks.podbean.com. It's our fucking homepage. Want to watch us on fucking Twitter, faggots? Get that Twitter shit together. Go to twitter.com/WFODicks. Fuck. And then comment on our shit, fuck. It's 314-266-WFOD. Or, if you're fucking illiterate, 314-266-9363, you fucking shitballs. Oh yeah, if you don't fucking like this, email me at wfodicks@live.com. Fuck you!